Hey, Glenn, do you ever try to use Yelp to find some place to eat? Like, whether it's like a date or something, or like a dude's night out, and all people really talk about is how good the food is, right?
They always talk about the food or like the building, but like there's nothing of any informative, like, I don't know. It's just, to me, it's always weird.
Yeah, or like people complaining about like a problem they had or something like that. Well, I found this app on the App Store called The Infatuation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is you can search for places near you, but you can filter the results by like, oh, if you're going on a date or if you're going out with the dudes to watch a game or something like that. So instead of just reading reviews on the food, you can actually, you know, filter by what you want to go out for, like a business lunch. Because sometimes looking at just the pictures of the place, you can't really gauge what the atmosphere is really like.
That's pretty cool. Like, that's the most unique thing I've ever heard. Like, Yelp doesn't have that. Yelp's all over the place. So, like, to have these unique filtering options and things like that, that's definitely easy for everyone to use.
Yeah. And right now, I couldn't really find any places near me because they're in major cities only. So, like, if you live in a major city like L.A., Philly, New York, you should definitely check this out. I think it's actually totally worth it to use it. I wish I could use it around me because, you know, me and my wife like to go out for date nights and sometimes we're bored with all the places we know about.
I love it. Well, I live in Philadelphia and I'm single. I want to go out, you know, to watch the NFL playoffs. So I'll definitely use this and check it out. So I guess I'm going to go to theinfatuation.com or download their free app for iOS and Android to search thousands of restaurant reviews and guides in 22 major cities around the world, or let the infatuation do the work for you by sending a text to 64560, that is 64560, and a real person will respond and help you find a restaurant that's perfect for whatever situation you find yourself in. That's incredible.
Yeah, so I feel like, you know, you're out and you don't have data or something like that, you can just use your text, like a text message, and still get the job done. That's super unique.
That's amazing. So you're going to theinfatuation.com or download their free app via iOS or Android or text 64560 and you will get a real world response from a real person. It's not a bot. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. So check out The Infatuation, guys.
Today's show is brought to you by Vinyl Me Please. Join the Record of the Month Club at joinvmp.com/songspodcast. Hey everyone, before we get into the episode, I do want to give you a friendly reminder that each and every episode comes with a unique playlist via Spotify or Apple Music. You can go to songspodcast.com or scroll down to the description of this episode and click on a link to the playlist, Apple Music, Spotify. They are there for you to experience the songs that we talk about on each and every episode. Thank you so much, and let's get right to it. What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Songs for the Moment. I am your host, Glenn G-Rod Rodriguez, and always with me is the producer, my right-hand man here, or left-hand man, whatever they say.
I'm Sean on some Hebert, kind of side. What's going on, man? I'm on somebody's side.
Yeah, you're down south. I was going to be the guy from down south.
Whoa.
Not that south, down south. Like, from where I am, you're southern.
Okay, yeah, right. That's true. No, geographically, no. I'm south.
Geographically, you're south, yeah. You're not southern as, you know, people that sometimes are weird. But anyway. Welcome to another edition. This week, we had a poll. People voted. It was a democracy. And the one that ended up winning was GOATs, greatest of all time, if you don't know what GOATs stand for. Because there's some people out there that don't know that.
It's strange. You voted on the poll and you didn't know what GOATs was... Yeah, not an episode about actual physical goats.
Yeah, it's not about like, you know, I went up to a goat and asked like what your five favorite songs are. We're not interviewing a goat today.
Yeah, we're not that out of material.
And this isn't a satanic episode where we're hailing Satan and talking about, you know, whatever. Anyway, the goat man. But Bahamut, whatever his name is. Anyway, I don't know. I'm going nuts. It's been a weird weekend. But thank you for joining us. You can find us on social media on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Songs Podcast. Also, announcement. If you don't know and you haven't been following social media, we're on Spotify now. We finally made it. We're on Spotify. It's awesome. Woo. I'm really happy about that.
Dude, that process took a while, right?
It definitely did. And only reason why I was worried, because usually the last two podcasts I submitted to Anchor, because that's where I moved everything over. So G-Rod Show and Pod of Horror, Spotify was one of the first to verify that we're on the service. It's usually the first one is like Pocket Cast is usually the first to right away, like hours after you submit. And then like the next day or the next couple of days, they come in batches. So Spotify is usually in the second or third batch. Well, this one was the last. And we went through a process where I emailed Anchor and was like, hey, what's going on? What's Spotify? I haven't been verified. I just want to know if there's something we can do or if they're just taking a long time because of the holiday, because I think I submitted the week before Veterans Day. So, you know, sometimes maybe they're not working on Veterans Day. I don't know. And they said there might be copywritten songs. Yes, we do. We use music to show what we're talking about so you can hear it. And we don't use the whole song, so it's not bad. And they write back, yeah, there might be a copywritten song in there. Delete it and then resubmit if you want to be on Spotify. And then like 10 minutes later, we're on Spotify. So it's cool.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, because I hear copywritten music all over people's like main intros for their shows and stuff. And it's like, you know.
Yeah,
we're only giving good promotion out, so whatever.
Exactly. But you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and my favorite, one of my favorite podcast players. I know you sent me one that I really like, and I joined their, I tried their like pro service, and it was cool. But I've been playing with CastBox, since CastBox is now something that Anchor puts all of our shows on.
Okay.
And I really like CastBox a lot. And it also comes with like audiobooks, an audiobook section, and
ooh,
just a lot of different things in one. And I think there's an FM radio thing in there too, which is weird, but like it's, I like the interface. It's just, I don't know. I've been using it a lot lately and it's been like, okay, I dig it. I'm going to use it. And since, you know, our show's on there, specifically,
may as well.
It's cool. I dig it.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to definitely check that out because I've been digging the Castro player, but there's a couple of things about it that I'm not really too hyped on. Like, it's not really clear sometimes when you delete an episode from your library, like if it's actually deleted or like what does archive really do?
Yeah. I know. I hear you. What I like about it is like on the front page, on the first, it says discover, it says categories, audiobooks, Wondery. And I guess that's like a different service, like an exclusive, like, you know, you pay for this and you get extra stuff. I don't know. Original content networks. And then they give you a whole bunch of like suggestions on based on what you listen to. There's a subscribe place where they list all the podcasts you subscribe to with all the album art. There's like different ways you can like list them, and it's really cool.
Okay.
And I think they have their own currency too. That's what I'm looking at. It's like a currency thing, like Box. I guess that's their own digital currency. And I have I don't even know what that is, but
two boxes.
Two boxes. I have two boxes. And there's a lot of cool stuff on it. I don't know. I've been listening to a lot of new shit lately. Not to get into a whole different topic, but I've been listening to this new podcast called The End of the World, and it's just like discussions on how the world can end. And they just talked about AI, and I'm like really scared of AI.
God, yeah, dude, don't go down that road. AI's scary as fuck.
Yeah, not to mention that I already am a huge Terminator fan, and every time I like hear about AI, I'm just like Skynet's taking over. But like hearing this conversation, because I think one of the people that's on the show like works with how stuff works, so it's very intelligent. And there's like things in there that I wouldn't even know, like about different ways the world can end, but things that are like not normal. Like they don't really talk about asteroids or stuff, like they talk about things that are like out of the norm that could end the world. So it's definitely worth listening to. But let's get into our our show here, greatest of all time. This was a hard.
Took me a while, dude. I've been working on this for a couple days.
And we, I know you told me you revised it a few different times.
Yep.
So I revised it a few different times too. And it's, we were going to do a bonus and I couldn't come up with a bonus because I couldn't decide on which one I wanted to use.
Same. So. I really could not. I had a bonus and then I took it out. I might mention it later. I'm not sure. Yeah. It depends on how squirrely I'm feeling.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you the pleasure again of going first.
Okay.
This time.
This is going to be not a shocker at all. So my first song is Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb. Yeah, it's a song that made me want to play guitar. I'm a really, really big fan of Pink Floyd. It's like my dad raised me on it, you know, every time we were in the car, it was on, you know, on the weekends when he was home, it was on. Yeah, so David Gilmour, you are like one of the last surviving real rock stars and we should just wrap you in bubble wrap.
Exactly. No, I definitely agree with that. There's not many left. He's one of the last and he's one of the greatest. And you know, it's funny because we were just talking about like my vinyl collection, and one of my favorite vinyls or records that I have is what is it, the Wall, not The Wall, what's the other one,
Dark Side.
Yes, Dark Side of the Moon on 180 gram vinyl. It came with all, it's double vinyl set that I got from Hot Topic one day randomly. Like, oh, I'm gonna pick this up, it's like a good price, I don't have this, you know, and I really like Pink Floyd.
And you should have it. If you don't have it, if you don't have a copy of Dark Side of the Moon on vinyl, you should totally get one.
And there's let me see, I gotta, because I don't know the song off the name off the top of my head, but there is, I think it's an instrumental on the Dark Side of the Moon. I'm gonna pull it up here because I need to. On the Run. I really like that song.
So
a
good.
Lot.
So good.
I have a not a story that I want to talk about on air with that song, but. When you're young, you experiment with things, and yeah, there was the time where I listened to that song while experimenting with my friends, and well, yep.
So, yeah, dude, I have a very similar story. I'm pretty sure the same exact song.
It's nuts. But yeah, I mean, we all do it. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't really have a ton to say. It's Pink Floyd. You should know him. And I will say one little thing. I've literally never heard anyone say like, "Oh, Pink Floyd sucks."
Yeah, I've never heard anyone say that either. I've heard people say, "I wouldn't listen to him all the time," but I never heard anyone talk shit on them at all.
Yeah, it's one of those bands where like, if you have ears, you have to like them, like. It's just a rule.
Exactly. I feel you on that. I need to pick up more of their records, especially when I buy a new player.
I want to get Wish You Were Here on vinyl really, really, really bad, but it's still $70.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It might be one of the ones that's worth just going for.
Yeah, just bite the bullet, pull the trigger.
Yeah, there's some records that I would just be like, yeah, I don't care. I remember... Because I'll tell you that story when we get to that song, because that actually has something to do with it.
Let's go into your first song.
Okay, I'm not going in order. I'm just going to skip around here. Everyone knows that metal, I think we've talked a lot about metal on the show. And
yeah,
I feel like one of the greatest metal albums of all time is that first Black Sabbath record. I think it's self-titled. And the way that album starts with the song Black Sabbath blows my mind. So I started listening to Black Sabbath more when Dio was on, because my dad was a huge Dio fan, or still is. I'm sure if I, you know, called him, I was like, "Hey, yo, you like Dio still?" He's like, "Yeah," because I know he likes Bruce Dickinson, and he was listening to the UFO the other day. I don't know. He's strange. He's got that Cody stick and watches concerts all the time. But that Black Sabbath song starts off the album. So evil, so like it, I'm sure it was like kind of new for the time when that album came out. No one's ever heard something like that, and it starts off with that like that storm, the thunder and lightning, and then like the bell toll, and then like Ozzy's voice, like he's telling the story about seeing something, and he has that laugh, and it's so, I love how heavy the guitars are and the drums. It's like one of the greatest metal songs of all time, in my opinion.
It's one of the greatest intros, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's, and not a lot of people talk about this song. Everyone goes to like Iron Man, or not Iron Man. Was Iron Man a Black Sabbath song, or was that a solo Ozzy song? That was a solo Ozzy song, I think. Or was it? I'm going to
look that up right now.
Yeah, I don't want to misquote that because Ozzy fans will slit my throat.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, everyone goes to Paranoid and War Pigs and things like that. I go to Black Sabbath, the first record. It has that and The Wizard, like, back to back. And The Wizard's such a great song. And there's something about that sound back in the day, and I'm sure that, like, scared people. Especially the album cover was, like, weird, too, with the... It's like the nun standing in front of a, or like a cloaked woman standing in front of like a house, and it's just scary. And I looked up.
It is a Black Sabbath song, actually. It was released in 1970 on the album Paranoid.
Okay, then. So Iron Man. Everyone goes to those three songs: Iron Man, War Pigs, Paranoid. Any of those, I go to. The first two songs off the first record, Black Sabbath and then The Wizard. They're like two of my favorite Black Sabbath songs. And I was going to say it. I like Dio a lot more than Ozzy as a singer. I like Ozzy more as a front, more of a front man, but as a singer, Dio, and I like the Dio years of Black Sabbath a lot too. So it just depends. But
Dio's
like,
awesome.
Dio is... I'm sad that I never got to see him play. I always wanted to. I know they played in Atlantic City a couple of times when I lived in Jersey. I don't know. They played, I think when he was doing the Heaven and Hell thing, the band Heaven and Hell was just basically the Dio version of Black Sabbath.
Right.
I wish I would have went to that tour, but I didn't. Now they tour with his hologram. It's called Dio Disciples, and it's like
Really? Members
of his band. Yeah, members of his band from different like eras of the band, and then him as a holograph or hologram,
that's
whatever.
Kind of weird.
Yeah, man. And it's weird, man. I remember watching footage of like them playing, and everyone's just standing there, and like I don't think anyone knows how to take that. You know,
that's very creepy, actually.
And we were talking about this in the first, I think one of the first two episodes of the G-Rod show when it just came back. And we were talking about how they're thinking about doing an Amy Winehouse hologram tour. And we were talking about is that needed? Is that going to scare people? Like, I don't know.
I think, is it needed is the best question.
Yeah.
I mean, if they put tickets on sale and they sell, obviously there's a market for it, so good for them. But, yeah, I think that's a little disrespectful of the dead. At that point, it's just the living trying to make money off of dead people.
Exactly. But, yeah, Black Sabbath, that's my first song.
But, yeah, my next song is probably no surprise. The next few definitely are, but this one... I tried to pick songs that I thought when they came out, nothing else sounded like that. So Deftones' Fetisera, the first official song off of White Pony, depending on what version of the album you got.
Okay.
So if you got the original gray version of the album with the gray cover with the White Pony, it started with Fetisera and ended with... I think Passenger. But if you got the later re-release, the white cover, it started with that song Back to School, which they yes. didn't even really want on the record. Really though, because the whole like rap rock thing was going on.
Yeah.
And so Back to School is a rework of a hidden track called Pink Maggot on White Pony.
And that's why it's in parentheses in the official release.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called Mini Maggot because they remixed the instrumentals of that song to be a little more faster tempo to fit a vocal over that was in that style. But yeah, Fed Acera, the first time I heard that song, like, you know, I had obviously known who Deftones were. I had Adrenaline and Around the Fur, and then, you know, I put White Pony in on my, at the bus stop, I think, on my way to like my eighth grade year or something. And dude, as soon as those drums kicked in, I was like, oh my God, that whole album at that time was so left field of what everyone else was trying to do. You know, because you think about it, a few months after this album came out, Hybrid Theory came out. You know, Linkin Park put out their first record, and that definitely was more in the vein of what was popular at that time. And Deftones had gotten lumped into that, and they just took a hard left and took a chance. And I really do think that they made something that was new, and it for sure inspired a lot of modern heavier rock and metal, like guitar players and musicians and songwriters and stuff. Like, you know, they're counted as a big influence in a lot of people. So yeah, that's, I mean, Deftones' Fed Acera is probably one of my favorite songs by them, if not my favorite song.
It's interesting too, because I feel like the tell of a great band, they can take risk and they're willing to do it and not be afraid, or at least they probably are a little bit, but like they do it and it pays off and they go against the mold. I feel like that's the makings of one of the greats. And I totally agree with that. I think they're one of the greats. And I remember listening to that album and being blown away by it too, because I wouldn't have known about the Deftones if it wasn't for you. So especially, like, I probably would have heard of them or seen them in a magazine, but I probably wouldn't have listened to them. But because I was like, hardcore into Slipknot. Like, we talked about this last week. Like, that's all I listened to at that point. And yeah, so I need to go back and listen to a lot of their stuff, because like they'll show up in a playlist or two, and then I'm like, yeah, I like this, and then I haven't really like sat back and just listened to a full record in a long time.
Dude, I listen to that and self-titled, probably the one after White Pony, the most. Like, that was like their golden age. That was when I went to see them for the first time, was right after self-titled came out. Poison the Well opened for them at the Electric Factory, and I will remember that show forever, because Poison the Well did not play Nerdy.
Nice.
And
nice.
as they were taking their stuff down, everybody was like, come on.
Did they play Botula?
Yes.
Okay. As long as they play that, I'm cool.
That was around, I think they opened with it, because that was the time, that was around the time that album came out, I think. Terror from the Red.
Okay. All right. That's awesome that they didn't play Nerdy.
It's awesome and it sucks at the same time.
Because it's such a hype song. I remember that concert, that tribute concert to, what's his name?
Morgan.
The guy who played Morgan, yeah. And the last thing that the show did was play Nerdy. And I remember everyone was fucking in that pit going towards the stage and singing a song. And I'm there with my camera, like in the middle of everyone, like trying to get the best shot, and how hype everyone was. I loved it. That was like one of my favorite moments of being at a local show, was hearing that song played. I know that show was emotional for reasons that, you know, everyone who knew him, and for people who didn't, like, just another, you know, when someone your age passes away, it sucks. Because it's like, damn, another gone too soon, you know? It makes you want to, you know, live life the way you want to, you know? And because it, your day could come at any minute, you know? So,
yeah.
But yeah. Let's see. What's the next one should I do? All right, I'm going to go. Speaking of hard lefts, I'm going to go with a hip hop song. I think, in my mind, I feel the greatest rapper of all time, and I still listen to him a lot, is the Notorious B.I.G. There's something about him that I gravitate towards more than Tupac, and I love Pac. Even some people would say Eminem is the greatest of all time, or Jay-Z, or even Kanye. You know, a lot of old Kanye stuff is really good and is different, but Notorious B.I.G. will always get my vote, and I picked the song that he did with Bone Thugs and Harmony called Notorious Thugs. I love this song. It's the one I play the most. And it's got this nice groove, this beat. It's perfect. And he gets to do the song with one of the greatest rap groups, I think, of all time, in Bone Thugs and Harmony. And I don't really have a story with it, other than I know it was on one of those Punko's hip-hop like albums, and someone covered it. I'm not sure who it was. So I know the Devil Wears Prada did Stay Fly or something like that, or something down the road from one of the newer hip-hop groups, and actually did a really good job with it, but I don't remember who did Notorious Thugs. I'll have to look that up as we talk about it. But like, what's your feelings on Biggie? I know you don't listen to too much hip-hop.
I don't, but at the same time, he's one of the ones I liked. I really like West Coast hip-hop just because of the instrumentals. Like, I feel like they're, like, I liked their overall feeling and groove a little bit more. I mean, it's not like I look down on it or anything like that. I honestly think that, you know, it was best back then.
Yes, agreed.
Compared to what's coming out now, you know, I will say right now that all hip hop that I am hearing currently is absolute garbage. It's like this whole SoundCloud rapper crap is like, I sound like an old man right now, but
it's okay though, because it's the truth.
Like the whole mumble rap thing, like
You want to hear how easy it is to make a mumble rap song?
No, I don't, because I've seen memes and GIFs, and honestly, if anybody can defend it realistically, I'm open to it. I'm open to hearing your side of the story, because I want to know why you like that.
But it's so simple to make. I was listening, so I was going through a website for like royalty-free music that I'm a part of, and I was looking for something for a backing track for something, and I came across a whole bunch of hip-hop stuff, and then I heard like trap music, like trap instrumentals. So I sat there and I listened to it, and then I just started like humming like how the flow would be, and then I just started like saying random words, but like like doing that, and I'm like, damn, if I write something to this just fucking around, I could probably have a SoundCloud rap career. And that's how easy it is, and that disappoints me so much on how easy it can be, because I don't feel like you need talent for it.
It's just annoying, man. Like, I feel like all the talent has dropped off. I mean, like, yeah, there's probably guys that are really good right now that aren't getting the spotlight because this is what's popular right now, and that's what sucks the most, you know?
Yeah, it does. Like, because, listen, whatever you feel about Kanye is 10 times better than any of these dudes. A lot of the rap that I listen to nowadays, and if it's not stuff from the past, it's like underground guys like Jedi Mind Tricks, Vinny Paz, things like that. R.A. the Rugged. I even like Necro, who's like ridiculous. Like,
he's disgusting, but he's so good.
Yeah, he's basically the rap version of Cannibal Corpse. That's how I see it.
That's a good way to describe him.
So that's how I go. So yeah, Notorious B.I.G., Bone Thugs and Harmony, Notorious Thugs. It's so good. I still think Biggie's one of the greatest, if not the greatest rapper of all time. There was just something about him that, I don't know, man, it's something special that if he was still alive, I don't think mumble rap would be a thing. I think if some of these guys were still around, I don't think that would ever have happened. Just because...
No, for sure. I mean, if some of these guys were... Well, you know, at the same time, I'm not sure, because like Snoop's still around. You know,
Snoop is still around, but that guy is like, so
he talks shit on them though, like not Biggie or anything, but he talks shit on all the mumble rap and stuff like that. Like I've seen a clip of him talking shit on that.
I love that guy. I mean, yeah, there's some stuff that he puts out now that I'm not a fan of, but like, he's still one of the greatest, and he's getting a biopic soon too. So it'll be interesting to see his side of the story.
Oh, he is.
Yeah. The Tupac one, I wasn't really a fan of it. There was something about it that didn't have the same charm as the Biggie one. And
okay.
Like, one of the cool things about that film was that they brought back the guy who played Biggie in the Notorious movie to play the same character, which was great. But there was a guy who played Snoop, and I think they had Snoop dub his voice, which was just so weird to me. Like I get what you were trying to do, but like the guy didn't even look like Snoop at all. They didn't even try to me. I just didn't think. And I really wanted to see his side of the story between the beef between him and Pac there at the end. Apparently there was something there, and I want to see, you know, what's his face's side of it, because it's just weird. I didn't know they had a thing. I thought they were all cool, especially up till the end there. But
right, because it was like West Coast and East Coast, right? Like, yeah. West Coast versus end. They were both West Coast.
Yeah, I think it was maybe because maybe Snoop wanted to go out on his own and do his own thing. And I feel like Pac was like one of those guys, like, if you're not loyal, you fuck you.
Like, right.
So we'll see what happens. But
enough of that. Yeah. My next song would be Jimi Hendrix, Hey Joe.
Mm.
Yep. And I chose Jimi Hendrix. Obviously, I'm a guitar player.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's amazing to me that his career only lasted, well, his mainstream career only lasted 4 years.
That's nuts.
And made such an impact. I mean, nobody had made that sound before. Like, nobody had played like him before.
Yeah.
And for him to only be in the mainstream spotlight, having everybody hear everything he's doing for 4 years, you know, and then sadly he passed away on September 18th, 1970. But that's incredible.
It really is.
And that song has such a good vibe to it, mm-hmm. you know?
Yes. A lot of his stuff did, though.
Yeah, and he was only 27 when he died.
He's part of the 27 Club, huh?
Yep, he's part of the 27 Club.
Ah, man. It's just so strange, too, because imagine if that guy was still around, you know? Like, I don't know if he'd still be playing, most likely. But
he
like,
changed how people played guitar.
Yeah, man.
So if he was still around, I think some things would be a little bit different.
It's just like we were talking about with Biggie, like, it depends on, like, if these people were still around, what would music be like? And with him only having that short of a mainstream career and making that lasting of an impact, where he's still talked about to this day as one of the greatest, if not the greatest guitar player that ever lived, it's incredible. But like, it's also like, what if, you know?
Right.
And it's just an interesting just thing to kind of think about, talk about. He played left-handed too, didn't he?
Yeah, he was lefty. But the thing about him playing lefty is he didn't play a left-handed guitar, like a built-for left-handed guitar player. He played a right-handed guitar.
Upside down.
Left-handed, you know, so it's upside down.
It's so nuts. I love that. That's such a great little topic.
I know people that can play like that too, but at the same time, like, it's just, first of all, from my perspective, I've tried to do that before, and it's like going back to the first time I've ever picked one up, you know?
Jeez.
I know a lot of there's like a section of the guitar playing community that's like, oh, he wasn't even that great. It's like, well, I mean, yeah, by today's standards, there's a lot of people, most people can smoke him technically, like his ability, but that doesn't mean that they have the feeling in their playing that he had. There was a certain feeling there, and you could only get that by being Jimi Hendrix with his fingers and his ability, you know?
And I don't think it's even fair to even like say that, you know, by today's standards. Like, I get it, but at the same time, like, all those people would say he really wasn't that good. If he was still alive, he probably would have gotten a lot better, you know? Like, it's just...
Right, but I mean, these are also like, you know, progressive metal, you know, teenagers who, you know, the earliest music they can recall is like System of a Down.
Yeah, no, I feel it. No, I hear you on that. That's so weird. Yeah. We're a little bit older. Like
weird, right?
Yeah, it's like getting older at 31 now, and like just man, my roommate and I were talking about like music and how it's just anytime I say like you were just a minute ago, I feel so old by saying this, but like mumble rap sucks and it's not the same. Anytime I say that, I get disgusted with myself. I don't want to be like that, but it's the truth.
You thought you would never stoop to that level.
We all say it and we all end up doing it. It's just one of those things. Yeah. It's one of those things.
It's just, it happens, man. You just accept it. You're old.
Yeah, I'm old. It's all good. It's all good. It's the best years are just coming up now. So it's all right. What's going on, true believers? Before we get right back to the show, I want to sit you down to talk about Vinyl Me Please. Now, Vinyl Me Please is a vinyl record of the month club. It's the best record club. I'm not lying. They are the best. Trust me. Because each month, Vinyl Me Please features one album that is essential to the modern vinyl collection and sends it to thousands of members worldwide. That's a lot of people. The resurgence of vinyl is even better than I ever imagined. And I know I'm a vinyl collector, and I know a lot of you out there that are listening collect vinyl, but if you don't and you want to get into it, this is the club to sign up for. Now, what do you get in the box and what comes with this whole record of the month thing? Well, we celebrate one incredible vinyl record each month and send an exclusive pressing of it to you right to your door. And they also include an original 12x12 album inspired art print and a paired cocktail recipe to sweeten the deal even more. If you're like me and you listen to music all the time, every time before you go to bed, I like to have a little drink before I go to bed and I listen to some music and I put on a record and I just lean back and relax. So you get some amazing things in this, but not to mention the record that you get is a special edition vinyl that you cannot find anywhere else. They work with the label and work with the artist to come up with something special and something you cannot find in stores anywhere in the world. We're talking colored vinyl, custom lyric books, exclusive artwork, personal notes from the artist, and much, much more. The only thing that you won't surprise you each month is how much you end up loving the music itself. And that is the truth. Now, if you want to join this club, which I hope you do, go to joinvmp.com/songspodcast. And again, that is joinvmp.com/songspodcast to join Vinyl Me Please today. And then let's get back to the show.
But yeah, man, what's your next song?
So I did Black Sabbath, I did Notorious B.I.G. Let's go Rammstein, because I think they're one of the greatest industrial metal bands of all time. And I think the reason why I think they're the greatest is because of their stage show. But we're not judging off that, we're judging off by the music. And I feel like the best song that they ever written that makes them, for me, up there in conversation is Oniditch, which means Without You in German. It is off of Reise, Reise, which means journey, journey, I think. Yeah, journey, journey. And this song is the best song they've ever written. And there's so much to it. It's heavy in near the end of the song. It's most of the song, though, in the beginning is orchestra and Till's voice. And it's such an epic, epic ballad. And then it gets heavy there. And the music video they made for it is incredible storytelling, and they're all in the video, and it's just them mountain climbing, and then as Germans do, of course, as they say, they just mountain climb all the time, drink beer and all that good stuff. So they're climbing a mountain, and it's really like snowy up there, and Till ends up falling from the mountain, like off of like a cliff type of thing, and they're trying to like hold on to him, but he falls. And they have him sitting in like a tent, and his like feet are frostbitten, and he's just not moving. He's still alive, barely. And the rest of the band is just kind of doing their thing, but they kind of like look at each other and look at him. And the way that he's sitting, he could see outside the tent, and he could see the summit. And he's just staring at the summit. And next thing you know, the song gets heavy, and they're helping him up to the summit, and they finally get him up. And they're up there, and it's just this beautiful wide shot of like everything around them. It's just, I would love to mountain climb once in my life just to see how it is to get to something like that. And he dies up on the summit after he sees it, and he's happy, he dies. and it just makes the song even more epic. And they took a big risk too, I think, in their time, because their first two albums sound identical. Shane Sook, which is the second one, and Herzlide, it's the first one. I'm butchering names, but it's all right. And then they took a hard left with Mutter, where they incorporated a lot of strings and a lot of orchestra and a lot of, and they got harder and they didn't sound like the dance type of industrial, like an industrial metal band would sound. They get just more grand and grand each album. And I feel like they really took a risk with the song because it's nothing like they've ever done. And it is hands down my favorite Rammstein song of all time. And people will be like weirded out by that, but because everyone would probably say Mein Herz brennt or Ich Will or any of Du Hast. Like everyone would be like Du Hast, but like everyone, I think it could come to the conclusion that's like the overhyped, like, but that was the hit that got him huge here in America. So,
well, yeah, because I think it was from CKY, right?
It was in CKY. They played that a lot on MTV. But if you were a fan before Du Hast in America, you probably heard them in Lost Highway, the David Lynch movie, because there was two songs by them in that movie. So, okay. And it was on the soundtrack. So if you're one of the lucky ones that got to hear Rammstein before Du Hast, good for you.
All right, so my next song is The Smiths. William, It Was Really Nothing.
Nice.
It wasn't actually ever released on an album. It was released as a B-side with the song Please, 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 Let Me Get What I Want, which is my second favorite Smiths song. I actually got introduced to The Smiths from Deftones because they covered Please, 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 Let Me Get What I Want when they released a B-sides and rarities album.
Okay.
Yeah, so the album that was out around this time, I think, well, this was later released on an album of B-sides and live stuff called Hatful of Hollow.
Okay.
Yeah, that's honestly like my favorite thing I've heard from them is that compilation. It's just really, really awesome. My neighbor Zach has it on vinyl. I have to borrow that from him. But yeah, it's really good. If you like Morrissey, I know some people really hate that dude, but I think he's awesome.
Yeah, me too. I agree. I love the Smiths.
I love his vocal melodies. I love Johnny Marr's guitar playing in the Smiths. Dude, the bass lines are so sick, and the whole band's just so talented.
Agreed.
I think just they're timeless.
I started listening to them, I think, when last time I lived in Philly. I like really got into them because I knew like their one song because it was in The Wedding Singer. How Soon Is Now? I think that's it. And I really liked that song, but like I started really listening to them like 5 years ago. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna say you're like, oh, I've been a Smiths fan for the longest time. There's something about his voice that is,
it keeps me listening.
Yeah, I can't really,
it just keeps me listening.
Yeah, and it's like one of the earliest emo bands, I would feel like emo.
Yep.
I mean, he's like the emo like king. If you go back, it's like him or Robert Smith from, or Robert whatever his name is from The Cure.
Robert Smith.
So I'm trying to figure out the one song. Reel Around the Fountain's good. I really like that song. Heaven Knows I'm Miserable Now. I sing that a lot because it's just funny to me. That sounds funny to me. But yeah, I would love to own some of their stuff on vinyl.
Some of his lyrics are really, really funny too. Like, I forget what the actual lyric is, but it's like something about something so mundane he'd rather be poked, stabbed in the eye or something like that. But yeah, the vocal melody is so catchy that you can sing this really fucked up lyric like over and over all day in your head.
It's like it's the most ironic band. Like they sing a lot about sadness and a lot of stuff that Morrissey's gone through, but like the music is nice and his voice is great.
It's so good.
It's like happy, you know. It's like when I watch a film and I'm watching this really sad scene, but they're playing like, or a scary scene, they're playing happy music over it. And it's just, I love that. It's such an ironic thing. I think it's overdone now, but when I first started seeing things like that, like, you know, when in Pulp Fiction, when Uma Thurman's character is dancing to that, like, Gotta Be a Woman Soon or whatever song, and she's dancing, and it's like this upbeat song, and then she ends up snorting the heroin and like ODs. Mm-hmm. Like, and I know that's not, I shouldn't be funny, but it's just funny to me because the song is so upbeat and like cool, and there's this really fucked up scene happening where she makes poor judgment.
It's that contrast.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like in 28 Days Later, where there's that really beautiful music playing over the guy running for his life to the boat.
Oh yeah. Oh, I remember that. Yes.
It's so good.
Now I need to go watch
that. The contrast in that movie is incredible.
I need to watch that again. That'll be a good one to talk about. You should watch that again and come on Pot of Horror and we'll talk about that movie.
Okay. Yeah, right. For sure.
There we go. Make a moves. I like it. Anyway. All right, let's see. I did Notorious Thugs, Black Sabbath, Oni Ditch. All right, let's go. Obviously, I'm not going to do a GOATs list without mentioning the boss, Bruce Springsteen, obviously. I picked a song off of The River called Drive All Night, and it's a slow song. And it's, I remember hearing this song in the movie Rain Over Me by, that was Adam Sandler and Don Cheadle, very serious film, where Adam Sandler nails it. He plays this, like, you know, really messed up guy who lost his family in 9/11. And
I don't think I've seen this.
Oh, dude, it's one of the, it's my favorite movie he's ever done. And that beats out all of his comedies for me. I know it's unfair to, like, kind of, like, put his serious work up to the comedy, but, like, it's still acting, no matter what, how you spin it and genres you spin it. It's, I think it's his best acting piece. And there's a lot of Bruce in it. Like, there's a scene where they play Out on the Street from the same record. Because, like, the theme, like, every time they talk about Bruce, they talk about the river. Like, Adam always talks about the river. And I got hooked on the album after seeing that movie and, like, hearing Drive All Night. It's just, like, really slow. Like, it's just this really good balance. Got this, like, I can't even tell you how to describe the drum sound, but he's, like, hitting the rim. Most of the time, the drummer
doing like rim shots and stuff.
Yeah, Max is doing the rim, and I remember that was one of the first records I got when I got my first record player in LA. It's one of those, you know, everyone hates them, but the Crosley suitcase ones. It's all I could afford at the time, and I bought like four records before that, and I got one for my birthday. The one for my birthday was an original pressing of Born to Run from my friend Devin. Then I got Give Up the Ghost till you're under that one with Bleed American on it. The one with the candy hearts on the front. Not Bleed American. That's fucking. Bleed American's fucking Jimmy World, but you know what I mean. I'm going to look it up right now.
We're Down Till We're Underground.
Yeah. I bought that. And then the record player couldn't play that album. I thought the album was warped. But then I got a better record player like a couple years later when I moved in with my ex. And it played fine. But then I got the River. And I saw that there was an original pressing. Oh, no. There was one of the original pressings on the wall that was like $75-$60 or whatever in really good condition, and I saw the exact same, like, because I took it down from the wall and looked at it, and then I was happening to go through like the actual section and found another original pressing for cheap in pretty much the same condition, and I was able to convince the dude to give me the one on the wall for the same price. Was like $20. And like, dude, I was like, it's the same fucking thing. You're not going to tell awesome. Me this isn't the same thing. So I got an original pressing on the River. And I remember my roommate at the time, Kevin Internato, awesome actor, check him out. he ended up going to his lady's house that night, and I was just laying on the bed with this record player, and it had like a headphone input, and I'm just sitting there listening to this record on in my headphones, and this song just, I'm in LA, I finally made it to where I wanted to be, and this is great. This is a good feeling. I'm listening to one of my favorite artists, and I think he's one of the greatest, and it looks like, I think he might be getting ready to go back on tour. He's been working out a lot more than usual, and I think the Broadway show is on its last run, and they're coming out with a special next month, which I'm pumped, on Netflix. The whole, like, they filmed one of the shows. I'm so excited to see how that works out, and I need to see him. He's one of my last on my list, bucket list, to see live, and needs to happen.
Yeah, I heard Springsteen live is awesome. There was, I heard a rumor that he was supposed to play Wildwood this summer, but apparently that did not happen.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that, and I just I kept refreshing shit. Maybe next year, man. Maybe that was a rumor for next year. Who knows?
Yeah, hopefully.
Because if I end up leaving, going back to LA anytime from now until then, if I hear that's happening, I'm on the first flight back. I'm going to be there. It's gotta happen. Gotta be there. And it would have been a free concert too, right?
I believe so. Yeah, I believe the Wildwood Beach concerts are free.
Because I don't think they even had one this year, did they?
Well, they do tickets, but the tickets are free. So it's like limited free. Like a limited amount of people can go, but you don't have to pay.
Before I let you go to your next song, this brings up an, I want to know your feelings on this, and it has something to do with music and all that, so it's good. So we're recording this on a Sunday. The show comes out on a Monday. Tomorrow, yeah, I'm going to the Radio 104.5 secret mystery show that they do every year, and they give you a list of bands of who could be there, and they're all big ones. Like, I think the list, I'll read you the list because it's an interesting list, to say the least. So out of these bands, Imagine Dragons, 21 Pilots, Bastille, Panic at the Disco, Muse, Mumford and Sons, Arcade Fire, Cage the Elephant, Foster the People of Monsters and Men, and the Killers are all supposed to, one of those are supposed to be playing the show. It's just one band. It's a mystery. You won't know until they walk up on stage, which I think is a great gimmick. That's pretty great. And it's a free show. Is that they give you a time where you can go and download tickets off of Ticketfly, and then once they're gone, they wait another week, and then they do it again, and then they give away tickets on the radio. So I was able to get them the first, when I knew they were doing a mystery show, I was like, all right, I'm going to try to get tickets for this. So I waited until I was around, and they did the announcement at noon, and I went on Ticketfly, was able to get tickets easily. So I went on to the venue's Facebook page by chance. It's Xfinity Live. It's going to be an outdoor show. It's like right outside Xfinity Live in the parking lot. And they're like, November 19th, just around the corner. And they have a picture. And it's literally the cover of the single of the band that is going to be there. Now, I'm not going to say it out loud because there's someone who lives here who wants to be surprised who's going with me. And probably can hear me because it's in, the walls are kind of thin. So I don't want to say it out loud. But Xfinity Live basically spoiled the surprise. And then they continue to do it the next day, saying a lyric from a song by this band.
Message me in Discord right now who the band is. Just type it.
Okay. I will type it. I don't want to say it out loud. I don't want to ruin it for them. I was sad. I was sad.
Okay.
To kind of figure out who it is. I'm excited because I like them, but I was really hoping for the surprise aspect of it, of knowing maybe they're swerving us. Who knows? That could be a thing,
because I mean the entire marketing around it is that it's a surprise. So for them to spoil it is kind of weird.
They'll probably go with the defense of like, hey, it's a hint. But dude, if it was a hint, I would have been like, this band is from Europe, because half that list is from Europe. They're like, Monsters and Men's from Europe, Mumford and Sons is from Europe, Muse is from Europe. Like half that list is fucking from Europe. So like, I would have just dropped not like easy things that I can look up. Like that picture is basically, you just go to the band's Facebook page or go list, find that song, and it's the album art. Or on the Facebook page, it's their Facebook banner. Like, You fucking ruined it for people. Now people are like mad and like giving their tickets away because they don't want to go. And
yeah, that sucks.
That's such bad marketing. Though I would have thought like if it was legit, they would have deleted it, but they didn't. And then they kept going with lyrics. So I think it's, I don't think they're swerving. I really think it's who it is. And I'm not upset about it. I just, you know, wish I would have found out the way
they dropped the ball.
They definitely dropped the ball. And I hope, you know, people are angry enough to like make sure that next time they do it, they don't, you know, fuck it up. Because I could tell you this, I really wish it was of Monsters and Men because I really like them and really want to see them. And
so you're saying it's not them?
No, it's not them. So yeah, if you're going to that show and you're listening to this happening by chance before you go to the show, it's not them. I'm sorry. And it's not the Killers okay. either, because I really wanted to see the Killers again. And I saw them senior. Were you with us when we went and saw them?
No, I never saw the Killers before.
It was me, Dan. I think Dan was with us. I know Larry was with us, and I know Andrew was driving. Andrew Franz. And yeah, it was me, Andrew, his sister, rest in peace, and Larry. And I think Dan was with us. And that was a really good show. It was at the Franklin Music Hall, formerly known as the Electric Factory. And it was a good show. So I was really hoping it was them too, but it's not. But hey, I'm excited to see that band that I told you in the chat. So
yeah,
should be interesting.
So anyway, I'm going to segue into my last song.
Sorry
and
about that.
This is, it's all right. It's all right, man. It's Michael Jackson's Beat It.
Yes.
Because it's pop and it has shred in it because Eddie Van Halen's featured in the song and it's probably one of the best songs of all time. And Michael Jackson's voice is incredible. It's so, so good. It was actually kind of hard to pick a song. I didn't want to do Thriller because that's everybody's choice.
It's typically.
I wanted to sidestep that common thing. And I was going to do Black and White, but Beat It won.
Ah, black and White, dude. I remember that music video. The music video always got me excited because fucking Macaulay Culkin's in it.
So long.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was
hey,
let's put out a 45-minute video for a 6-minute song.
Dude, that's why he was so epic, man. Like, he's one of, if not the greatest artist of all time. It's because he did things like that, you know, and I was always a fan. Like, I was going to pick Pretty Young Thing as a Michael Jackson song, but I decided to go with something different. So if we throw anything else on the list, just because, that'd probably be it for me. It was Pretty Young Thing, because I really like that song. And one of the bands that was on the tour that I got to film and edit for covered that song every day. And always did a killer job with it because the girl can sing. Stamps. If you like pop rock, pop punk, go out there and listen to them. They're pretty good. I know they're still technically together, but they haven't toured out as a band in a very long time. So, Michael Jackson, man.
Yeah,
just they're great.
Everybody knows everything about that whole scandal that happened. But didn't all those people like recant their statements after he passed?
Oh, man, I don't know. I truly believe that it definitely might have been a setup to get money out of the dude.
I mean, he definitely wasn't a normal guy.
Yeah.
at all. Yeah. But again, his childhood wasn't normal either. Like, apparently his childhood really sucked.
It definitely did. His dad was a dick.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I was watching this thing on the Jackson 5, and, like, they would get off of school, go home, change, and then go to a show until, like, 2 or 3 in the morning, and then come home, go to sleep for, like, 2 hours, and then go back to school.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts.
It's insane.
But, I mean, he definitely grew up to be one of the greatest, and it was a scandal or not. I know we're in the age of, like, if you're guilty, we don't listen to you anymore. Like, you know, the guy from Brand New, all those allegations from Brand New, and like a lot of my friends who are fans of them don't listen to them anymore because of that. I'm like, I can't do that because the music means so much to me that I'm willing to separate the man from the music and say, yeah, you shouldn't have fucking done that. That's shit. but I'm not going to punish the rest of the band for their talents and the greatness of their music
because one guy
did a fucked up shit, you know? Like, rape's not a good thing. Don't do it. But I hate this whole attitude, like, you know, I'm not going to listen to this shit anymore because that person's weird. Or that, like, the only thing I could do, that, and I know this is going to sound hypocritical, but fuck the Lost Prophets. I can't. I'm sorry. I just can't. I can't deal with the Lost. That's just way, because that's just, I'm trying to stand on a line and be firm here, but it's just, there's difference here, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, there's also, you know, As I Lay Dying got a lot of shit because they released a new record.
With Tim, yeah.
Yeah.
They got back together.
Yeah, and I feel bad for their one guitar player because he's the guy that was also in Seosin recently. And he was in As I Lay Dying, you know, almost since the beginning.
Yeah.
And I mean, he just wanted to make music with his friends. Yeah, it was a controversial decision to bring that guy back. But there was a lot of, like, blowback from people in the industry. Like, other bands saying, like, oh, fuck them. They shouldn't have done that. I won't listen to it. Don't support it. All this. And honestly, I didn't listen to it because I haven't listened to that band friggin' since their first record.
Yeah, so. Since their first. And the last time I listened to them, I saw them at Ozfest, and I watched this girl beat up a whole bunch of dudes, and it was awesome. This girl literally beat the shit out of a couple dudes, and everyone just let it happen. Like, it was awesome. I'm glad no one jumped in because those dudes were being dicks. Took away, but like, and it sucks too because that guy Tim LeBeas or whatever his name is, the As I Lay Dying guy. I liked the whole gimmick band that he put out, the Austrian Death Machine, because I fucking love Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. I just thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, yeah, don't go and try to get your wife killed and shit. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
And not that you're not gonna like get away with it, like, or you're gonna get away with it, like, fuck you.
Exactly. But the Lost Prophets thing, I didn't really hear a lot of details, but I know the basic outline of what he was accused of and all that, and yeah, that's it was fucked.
It's so much fucked that, like, I can't listen to, like, there's a lot of songs that they put out that are I liked back in that time, and
right.
And people are going to say, well, how can you not listen to that, but you can listen to Brand New? And, you know, I'm not trying to paint one situation worse than the other. Like, and I'm not saying one thing's worse. It's just a personal thing for me that I can't listen to that, but I can listen to this because I think because the band meant so much to me, Lost Prophets didn't. I just like some of their songs. I can tell you that Brand New made sense to me in my years of growing up in high school and afterwards, and still to this day, a lot of their songs still mean a lot to me. And I think it's because of that I can separate. I wasn't a huge fan of the Lost Prophets. I just liked Last Train Home. Shinobi versus the Dragon Ninja, or whatever that fucking song was called. That's it. So I think that's where I stand. And I think that makes a lot more sense than what I was trying to say earlier. So there you go. Little controversy on this week.
Music's just like a really personal thing anyway. So like, exactly. I can understand why some people, like, cause you know, Brand New was a really big deal for people in like 2005.
Yeah. Yep.
Way before we knew any of this stuff happened. So to disassociate those two things is a lot easier for people, you know, than a newer band, like than Lost Prophets or something. Somebody who hasn't been around the block for so long.
Yeah. And it's a lot of people are coming out with their story, and I'm so proud of the people that are coming out because I know that fucking sucks. You know, like, I couldn't imagine like how that must feel, keeping that shit in all that time and bringing it out and, you know, putting your reputation on the line and stuff like that, because there's going to be people out there and they're going to dismiss you right away. And that sucks, you know? And yes, there's times where people come up with stories and they're made up, and that ruins it for the people who have real stories, and you know, everything's gonna be disassociated because, well, there are a lot of people that make up fake shit, and that's the worst part of that whole, you know, aspect of coming out with your story if you've been raped or something happened. And there was another band that I was starting to get really heavy into, Sorority Noise, and that dude just, you know, I read that story and I was just so pissed off at him. Like, dude, like, just people need to make better fucking decisions with their life, but not to get political.
Yeah, no, and or whatever. Yeah, and I'm not saying I lean one way or the other. I'm
exactly
defending this at all. I'm just saying, in the age of the internet, yeah, everybody finds out everything everybody does.
Yeah.
20, 30 years ago, wasn't a problem. Like, it's not like all of a sudden people are disgusting. We're just finding out about it.
We're just finding out a lot more.
We're just able to find out about when people are disgusting, and we're able to call them out on it sooner. You know? I mean, think about all the other situations, like the Weinstein situation. A lot of that stuff happened a while ago, and yeah, it did happen recently and stuff, but the internet has made information so easily accessible and leakable that it's not like people have changed at all. People have always been people.
People have always been people. I like that. Yeah. People suck no matter what year it is.
Essentially. Yeah. People suck no matter what time it is.
You know, it's like, I think the most pure fucking animal on this planet is a fucking dog. And I wish...
Yeah,
they
people don't deserve dogs.
Yeah, they. I wish they were the ones who ruled the world. All right, I have one last song. That was a heavy subject. I'm actually glad we talked about it, because that was something I always wanted to talk about on the show. I just didn't know when to bring it up, but that was perfect. That was a good time to bring it up. So, I feel like not enough punk on this list, so I put one on the list after changing this a whole bunch of times before we did the show, and considered really, like, you know, the biggest punk band or the band that kind of like helped get that genre going. The Ramones, obviously. I picked Pet Sematary because one of the bands on my list covered that song, and it was the first time I heard that song, and I had to go back and listen to the original that the Ramones did, and I love the song so much that I listen to it all the time. So Pet Sematary, Ramones. Can you guess what band out of the four beforehand? One's obvious that they didn't do it, but it'd be interesting if they did. If Biggie did it. But I'll give you three. Bruce Springsteen, Black Sabbath, Rammstein. Who do you think covered Pet Sematary?
I'm going to go with Rammstein.
Yes. Yes. They did it on... I was just talking about this before.
I didn't actually know that, though. Like, that was a complete guess.
It's a good guess, because, I mean, it makes the most sense, I think. So this was right around sophomore year, I think. They were on their Mutter tour, so the album Mutter, and they were in New York at the Hammerstein Ballroom. And at the end of the show, they bring out Jerry Only from the Misfits. They bring out Dee Dee Ramone, and they bring out Marky Ramone, the drummer. And they played this song. And it wasn't Till who sang most of the lyrics. It was the keyboardist, who doesn't speak that much English, singing the song, and it sounded so weird because his pronunciation and everything is just off, but it's so
awesome.
It's so punk rock, because before Rammstein, the keyboardist Flocka was in a punk band called Feeling B in Germany with their guitar player Paul Anders. Useless knowledge, I know, sounds weird, but they were in a punk band, so it made sense that they would perform a song. But the song's great, and the Ramones are fun to listen to, and recently I started listening to the Ramones again because I was reminded by them by the Entourage episode where they want to do the Johnny or the Joey Ramone movie, which would have been awesome if that actually ever came to fruition in the series, but it didn't. I would be really cool to see a Ramones movie now. I don't know if they would ever do one, but I'm sure it eventually will come up. But they had so many great songs, so many big hits, and were one of the bigger CBGB bands back in the day. And they're one of the biggest influences in a lot of people's minds in punk rock. It's them, the Sex Pistols, Black Flag, even for hardcore, Bad Brains.
I mean, hey, the Ramones were so influential. Celebrities wear their t-shirts when they've literally never listened to them.
Exactly. So. I mean, that's a thing. And that's a thing that we have to like kind of acknowledge, because
Dude, yeah. I hate that shit.
I know. It happens all the time. There was a video the other day of some kid wearing a Nirvana shirt, and the person's playing a Nirvana song, and he's like, who's this? And the person couldn't figure it out, and the person's wearing a Nirvana shirt. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was just, it's just funny. It's like, you know, when Hot Topic came out with, or no, HM, I think it was not Hot Topic, because Hot Topic wouldn't do that. H&M or whatever came out with like a black metal themed clothing line. And they used Mayhem and they used Burzum like logos and stuff. And I'm just like, if you really knew what this music sounded like, you probably wouldn't wear that kind of shit. But it's like their logos are so obscure that it probably looks good on the t-shirt.
There's two rules to band t-shirts that you never break.
Yeah.
Number one, don't wear a band t-shirt of the band you're going to see.
Unless it's Iron Maiden.
Yeah. Actually, I'll add another rule. Number two, you don't wear your own band's t-shirt. So if you are in a band, you do not wear your own merch. It's douchey. Number three, don't fucking wear a band shirt if you don't listen to the damn band.
I remember hearing that first rule back in when I was dating my now friend, like one of my best friends now, Ashley, back when I went to see Dropkick Murphys, because I was wearing a Dropkick Murphy shirt to the show. And she's like, why are you doing that? I'm like, why not? She's like, you're not supposed to do that. I'm like, what?
That, and it's obvious you're a fan of the band if you're going to see them.
Yeah, that's what she said. That's what she fucking said. I'm just like, dude, stop. Like, fuck off. Like, I don't care, you know? And then, like, no, I don't do it, because I don't have many band t-shirts anymore. Like, I have one. It's the Menzingers. And I really want to go to that show next week, but it's sold out. I'm probably pretty sure I could find tickets somewhere else. But if I really, really want to go. But I was surprised they sold out like so well, because so close to the show now. Like, of course, plus it's like right after Thanksgiving. It's like 2 days after Thanksgiving, so people are going to be around. So, that's just drives me nuts that people wear shirts and like they don't know the band, because it's like, you know, it's like when someone wears like a NWO wrestling shirt and they're wearing it, and I've seen celebrities do it, and I'm like, oh, that's cool, they're a wrestling fan, and you find out they're not. They don't know what it, they just thought it looked cool. It's like, fuck, you know, because I was watching wrestling last night and I didn't realize that fucking. So, you know who Nina Strauss is, the guitar player for Alice Cooper? She's really good.
Yeah.
She's self-taught and everything. Well, she did the theme for last night's, because every pay-per-view has they pick a song from a band and it's the theme song, whatever. So she did one for WWE's brand called NXT, and it's like the better show, in my opinion. It's like where it feels like an indie show, where they can do moves that they probably shouldn't be doing, but they do anyway. So sitting right next to her, so they show her on camera, and like, you know, everyone's like clapping for her and waving at her, but like right next to her is O'Shea fucking Jackson, fucking Ice Cube's son. And I'm like, dude, I didn't know he was a wrestling fan. He's got a fucking, he bought a title belt, he was going wild the whole time, he started a chant, it was great. Like, you know, and he wasn't wearing a wrestling shirt, but like people wear NWO shirts and they're like, I don't know who that is. I'm like, what is it? It's just weird.
But, like, what, did somebody give it to you, dog? Like,
yeah, it's cool, but like, know who they are.
So, yeah.
So that's it.
Do you have any bonuses? I was going to say Queen Bohemian Rhapsody was my bonus, but I don't know. Everybody likes that song and already knows they're iconic. There's a friggin' movie.
So. There's a movie that Rami Malek kills it, I hear, as...
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either. I want to, because I love Rami Malek, because I'm a big Mr. Robot fan, but I heard it... So there's a whole thing about how... they wanted to take it into a serious direction on, like, you know, the later years too of Freddie when he had AIDS and stuff. But the band, Brian May and all those guys were in charge of putting it together, wanted to keep it in, I guess, the happy realm.
Okay.
Which I get. And I know a lot of people were angry about that, because when Sacha Baron Cohen was in charge of putting it together with the band and he was going to play Freddie, he wanted to do that, and that's why he left, because they weren't going to go that direction. And there's some, like,
I didn't know that.
And there's some inaccuracies in there too. Like, he, like before, I think it was like the scene where they're doing the Live Aid recreation. And like, I think it was like right before that show, Freddie tells the band that he was diagnosed, but that didn't happen until later, like before that, or like, I mean, after that, way after that. So there's like a lot of inaccuracies, but like, you know, that's how
that movies
made
are. A better movie. Yeah.
I guess it made it more meaningful when they went out on stage to that fucking crazy, like, I've never seen a lead singer on video or being in person who control a crowd that big the way he did.
He was the best at it.
Yeah. Best front man.
He was the absolute best at controlling a crowd. And yeah.
If you're going to go with a Queen song that I feel like that would be probably a good bonus for you, or just be a good bonus if we just want to throw it on the list for Queen. Cause I have a bonus I just thought of and we'll get to that. But like, I really, really, really like Somebody to Love or Under Pressure. Like, those are my two favorite Queen songs. Radio Gaga's good. You know, all that stuff. That's really good. So, and I think.
So, what's your bonus?
I'm going to go with. I mean, there's so many rock bands I could have went with, but like, I'm going to go with Led Zeppelin. And I'm going to go with Dire Maker. There it is. I like Dire Maker. It's a good song. Always played on one radio 107. What is it? 100.7 back home.
Yeah.
Always played it on there. That's where I always heard it. So yeah, Dire Maker. Let's have one. Dude. Yeah. I mean, their guitarist, what's his name? Jimmy Page lived in Aleister Crowley's house. I mean, can't get any more fucking metal than
that's crazy. That's so crazy. But yeah, that brings us to an end for this week's episode of The Goats. At least our opinion of who the goats are to us.
I'm sure we'll do another one.
Like I said, I didn't want to keep it all classic rock, because then you could have just Googled best artists of all time and just looked up and made your own playlist. You know, that would have been boring.
I'm very proud of
wanted to make it a little more personal.
Exactly. And I'm very proud that we didn't, and none of us picked Kiss songs.
I fucking hate Kiss.
I mean, I'm not gonna hate on their contribution to rock music and metal music, but fuck them. Fuck Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley. I'm cool. I'm Ace Frehley guy. Always liked Ace. I hate that the way they treat him.
I've heard he's a cool dude, but I've heard Gene Simmons is a fucking tool bag.
Yeah. Well, he's strictly business. Always trying to make money off something. So. You know, it's whatever. I did like Detroit Rock City, the movie. It was good. I really liked that movie.
Oh yeah, the movie was great.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll probably end up doing another Goats. I mean, there's so much we could do.
Yeah, considering I'd added my list like four times.
So looking back at the poll before we really sign off here, let's decide on the show what we're going to do next. I feel like we could just try a pick from the poll and just do that episode next week and then put up another poll. Okay. So we had Guilty Pleasures 2, part 2. We had debut albums. Did we do a debut album episode, like songs off of a debut album? Or did we do like something like to that accord? Because I don't remember.
I think we did self-titled.
Okay. All right. So we'll debut albums would probably be a fun one to do, right? Or hip hop rap, which is definitely something out of our normal realm, which be a challenge. That almost won. That had the second most votes at 27%. And then debut albums, The Guilty Pleasures Part 2, tied at 18. So
we haven't done a hip hop show yet.
So should we make a left and go do a hip hop? All right, so next week we're gonna do hip hop rap.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Let's do it. Let's make a hard left.
Let's make a hard left. It's the theme of this episode, hard lefts. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. You can find us on all social media at Songs Podcast. I think we're going to be making a Facebook group very soon. If you want to show us your ultimate support, go to patreon.com/songspodcast. We're going to start recording some fun stuff for that. You know, exclusive shows, after shows, interviews, merch discounts. I feel like we should probably put up that. We got to. So tell that real quick. Did that guy listen to our episode, do you think? Did you tag?
I don't know.
Did you tag him in anything?
I don't know. No, I didn't really tag him in anything.
So we said Shredwave, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to look that up. I'm going to see if that's even a thing. Because I feel like...
Well, he hashtagged it Shredwave, and there was like a few hundred posts, but like a lot of them not like a lot of them didn't have anything to do with that.
I feel like Shredwave is something someone from a surf community would say.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's our genre of how a sport works.
Well, I commented on it and tagged him, and I was like, hey, you know, we mentioned that, LOL.
Okay. So.
Just to see if he was like, yeah, I know, I heard.
That'd be cool. That'd be really cool.
That would be hilarious.
So, yeah, we're going to do so much for Patreon. So if you want to show us your ultimate support, because we're going to be doing this every week, we're back on track. You can also go to songspodcast.com for reviews, exclusive playlist, where you can listen to the playlist that we talk about from each and every show, because you can find them on Apple Music or Spotify, and we post them on there. I was going to bring this up to you via text. I'll just say it now, since I have you here. I was thinking it'd be really cool to like go through bands' discographies and like list our favorite like five albums and just talk about them like as a written review or something we could do as a okay. Patreon or whatever. I just want to start adding a whole bunch of stuff. And if you feel like you want to help us out and contribute to the website and just, you know, we'll give you credit and all, and eventually down the line, if we get bigger, you know, not if, when we get bigger, as we will, you know, we can start helping you out there. But if you want to add something to our website, you want to contribute in any way, let us know. You can email me at songspodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, or if you want to be a guest or something like that, yeah, send it. Or if you have ideas for themes for the episodes, if we like it, we'll pick it.
For sure. And let them know where they can find you.
You can find me at Sean Songscast at Twitter and at Instagram. Hit me up. I'm usually posting promo stuff for here, sometimes just random memes and stuff. So, yeah.
Awesome. And you can find me at Real G-Rod. And you can also find me on the G-Rod Show, obviously, every Friday. And Pot of Horror, if you're a horror fan, every Wednesday. This week coming up, we'll be doing an episode on Jaws. Cody Repass will be joining me. The first two episodes was Fender Bender and a movie called Summer of 84, which I recommend everyone to go fucking watch. And then I'm going to be doing an episode on this movie called Cam that just came out on Netflix on Friday, which is one of my favorite surreal horror films of the year for sure. It takes the world of cam modeling and turns it upside down. Thought that was pretty interesting. And Blumhouse put it out, so of course Blumhouse is my fave. So with that being said, thank you so much for listening to Songs for the Moment this week, where every moment has a soundtrack. Later on, guys.
Later, guys.